y'all motherfuckers can eat a bag of dicks.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me. I live my life in chains, got my hands in chains, and I can't stand with a call to the guy, but I feel like this. I must insist that a girl's got more to do than be the way you think a woman should. I'm taking it into my own head. In this man's land, I can't understand why I'm taking command. I've had enough of stuff, and now it's time to think about me. In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes. Money for this art. That's not the shape of my heart. And you can easily gamble your life away. Second after second and a day by day. You play the game or you walk away. It's a new turn on a blue day. And you can easily gamble your life away.
All right, fuckerinos. All right, still here, massive, mad, ridiculous-ass motherfucking reverb. Reverberation, that's the echo that you hear. That's reverb. Well, audio nerdism for you there, chief. All right, so, yeah, and obviously the reverb, because it's still hollow in here. But they, so with all that they don't have done, they cut the prorated dates at the 13th, even though right now it's the 21st. We're still talking about the apartment that I moved into. I'm in Illinois now, no more Florida, right? I was in Castleberry. I was in Fern Park. I was in Union Park when I started podcasting, right? East Orlando. And now I'm up here in Illinois in this... what the fuck is this fucking place? Wellmerville, Warrenville. Out here in Illinois, not in the big city action, right? But I'm in here. There's still a circular saw on my floor. I randomly call it that. I don't know what the fuck kind of saw it is. Buzz saw, hack saw, fuck you in your fucking face saw. I don't fucking know. Maybe just a bad movie from Australia saw. I don't know. There's a door to another apartment in here. A shovel, some buckets. And the guy said he cut the prorated days because he considers us moved in. So I'm actually, when we start moving stuff in this weekend, which will be awkward because I'm doing corporate monster shifts on the weekend. So we'll do as much as we can, as fast as we can. Going to be some swift action labor there. And I see him pass by. I'll be like, hey, oh, here's your saw out in the hallway. You know, like just putting their stuff out. Because if I'm paying rent to be here, then... these are not my items. I do not own these things. So, either these things are paying some sort of rent to occupy this living room, or they go. And I vote they go. Alright. And it's a... this is a nigtatorship. I am the nigtator. and the nictator is the only vote that counts. You have officially been nictated to. So they go. Social media. Phoenix Kalita just got blocked by an individual of social media. And I find that stuff amusing, right? So I don't know how long the Facebooks has been around and the Twitters. Like, I don't remember what year these things started. And I didn't really actively start using them myself until I was like, oh, I'm going to be an independent content creator and spread my shit through the social media platforms. And I found out that in those platforms, you can make like some actual homies, like some motherfuckers where you're like, no, like that really is the homie. I really do fuck with that nigga, you know, like I really do get down with this person, you know. But for the most part, like, these are acquaintances. That's why I think we fucked up. Well, not we, but the folks that made the Facebooks, they fucked up with the word friend. It should be like Twitter, where it's follow. And it's a mutual following. You know. Because you can't, these are not actual friends. Who the fuck has 3,000 friends? Who the fuck has 3 friends? You know, like, get the fuck, who has 13? Who has 5? But, you know, like, yeah, so nobody has 3,000 fucking friends. And if you are a content creator like myself and Phoenix Kalita are, like, people send you a friend request in the social networks because they want to follow you. Not because they have something to say to you, but because they want what you say and what you produce in their newsfeed when they're scrolling. And then you have the sort of wannabe content creators, like the folks that they engage in conversation in the social networks, right? Like, you know, they see something that pisses them off, and they find the folks that are their acquaintances that they call their friends, and they're like, "Yo, you fucking hate this thing? I fucking hate this thing." And you know, and they have a riff about it. But over time, some folks have actually convinced themselves that shit is labor. Nigga, hanging out with your so-called friends is not labor. If I have some motherfuckers that I recently met come over here and have some beers and steaks and we complain about the government, we're not working. That's not labor. That shit ain't work, nigga. These motherfuckers. And so these fake content creators, and they get mad at Phoenix Kalita every once in a while and they block her. And that's okay. Like, let that person go, right? Like, and hey, maybe they will make the news on some shit, and we do a news and comment program, we'll cover it. But until then, that's just a fake wannabe content creator floating around the social networks, doing absolutely nothing relevant ever in the entire mistake of their existence. Can you dig it? Alright, what in the holy, what in the holy fuck damn is going on here, folks? We got some fucking shit, some stuff, some things, some whatnot, some what have you. We went digging through some of the shit. Phoenix Kalita found some shit. I found some shit. Jesus Christ. An Ohio woman who traded her daughter for heroin, gets 51 years to life. A gang member in Kansas City was shot while carrying out gang activity. That happens. Some fucking good guy with a gun got arrested after holding an 11-year-old black boy at gunpoint. Alright, sometimes you gotta do that, you know? 11. Hell, 11. That's when I had my first police encounter. Necros is dangerous at the age of 11. They're about right scary, man. Like, how old was that little dark-skinned black boy? You find the one that, like, I think they said he kissed a white girl on the playground in school back in, like, the 1940s and lynched him up right good?
Oh, I think he was about 11, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was. So that's around that age. I mean, hell, that was... Hell, I was 11 in 1994. I think they call it the 94 crime bill. Like, that's when I graduated to super predator. Let's see. some scientists, I don't like this headline, but some scientists are trying to turn plastic into fuel. The headline is saying they already did so. slow down. Men framed by Chicago police finally released. See what's going on with that funky shit right there. That might be some funky chicken. How funky is your chicken? How gangsta is your crippin'? How gangsta is your crippin'? How true is your blue? Our blue is totally true. Let's see, off the Chicago Tribune. Sperm donors, somebody still, some precious white angel done got the Negro sperm in her at a sperm donor place, and so she has been tainted with the Africanism, and she's going to court for that. Yep. I mean, hey, man, she threw the wrong coin down her wishing well, huh? What are you gonna do, huh? Black Lives Matter activist calls Megyn Kelly a white supremacist. Really, just this, I might fuck around with this one because it's a right-wing outlet, BizPack review, where the fuck these fuckers are. And it just amuses me the way they cover it, right? Because they're covering, like, a segment I might cover, right, from a Fox News segment. But they're doing it from their right-wing perspective, where this mean old Negro man is talking the way he ain't supposed to be talking to Miss Kelly. You don't go talking to her like that, girl, like that, no, boy. All right. And we just got a program uploaded. If I can get two programs uploaded in one day, that's a fair goddamn deal, right? I think it fucking is. Got to get with the folks from, with that, the little homie from Blackwashed. Got to get with Fallon Loco, Frick Face. Got a Frick Face around this time last week. Got to get a Frick Face again this weekend. I don't know how our schedules match up. Find and link up with Leeser from the program. And we'll get into some shit. Haven't gotten over Shawnee in a while, but we also don't have an internet connection here. And that's mostly how I interact with these folks. Yes, there is a cellular telephone right by me. I use that to talk to my fiance for the most part, but I guess I might as well start using it to interact with some of these other folks. So, yeah. All right, let's get into some fucking wine cellar. We got some stuff, some things. Oh, shit. And we have an NPR clip. Of course, we're going to have big gay news. Something from prison radio. And, yeah, I think it's good. It's, you know, that box thing with the job applications. Have you committed a felony? They conducted a study on that, and they got a guest on NPR talking about that. So we'll dig into that clip. And from there, let's fuck around and go in the social networks. And look at how many. Remember, don't just unfriend people because they're not actually friend by the definition of the word. Those are still acquaintances. Like, your news feed is a good tool. Use it that way. All right? It's a tool. It's not just some fun thing to play. But you can get some good shit in there, good information. All right? But remember, they're not all friends. Some of them niggas is the homies. Most of them are just loosely affiliated, if you will. I don't give a fuck about Republican conventions, cause they don't do enough for my attention. You actually think Steve King said some new shit? Nigga, that's Steve Cantaloupe's King, nigga. The fuck you talking about, fool? Niggas hauling, nigga, 100-pound of marijuana across the desert. What are you, off your fucking rocker? Look at Peter King. Look at all these fools. Ted Cruz gave a speech. That ain't front page shit. The RNC is an easy target with a bad defense. So the Democrats don't have to be as bad as them. They could play like they're adults in the room with food and drink that the lobbyist consultants consume. The fear-mongering makes a weak divide, and you don't see Obama's change CPI. But they don't get past these eyes. Drone-striking motherfuckers. Like, what up? With the Nobel Peace Prize.
Next, we report on the drive to help people with criminal records find jobs. Many states and local jurisdictions have passed what are called ban the box laws. The laws say if you're an employer, you can't have an application that has a box you're supposed to check about whether you have a criminal history. New social science research explores the effects of those laws, and NPR social science correspondent Shankar Vedantam is here to talk about it. Hi, Shankar.
Hi, Steve.
I guess the idea is to avoid discrimination, right? You're not supposed to even ask if you're an employer if somebody has a criminal history.
That's right. So many employers simply will not call you for an interview if you check a box saying that you have a criminal history. This has big effects on ex-felons and disproportionately affects African-American men and other people of color. I was talking to Amanda Agin. She's a postdoctoral researcher at Princeton University. She told me that more than 100 jurisdictions in 23 states have passed laws preventing public agencies from asking about criminal history, and 9 states and several cities have passed laws preventing private companies from asking about this information. Now, companies can still ask about criminal history, just not upfront. The idea is, once a company has met an applicant and likes the person, they'll be less inclined to reject the person simply because they have a criminal background.
The laws will tell the employers at what point in the hiring process they can actually ask about criminal history or do a criminal background check. And the idea is to really help applicants get their foot in the door with employers.
Okay, so the idea is give me a chance to come in and make my case, and eventually I'll tell you about my criminal history.
Exactly.
So how effective are those laws?
Well, Agin and her co-author, Sonia Starr at the University of Michigan, recently ran an experiment, Steve. They sent out 15,000 fictitious applications to companies in New Jersey and New York City before and after those areas passed these ban-the-box laws. The only difference between the applications is that some had stereotypically white names, like Scott and Cody. Others had stereotypically black names, like Terrell or Darnell. Now, given that one important purpose of ban the box laws was to reduce racial disparities in hiring, what Agin found was very surprising.
The racial gap in callbacks by employers actually increased. White applicants were significantly more likely than black applicants to be called back, and that gap was larger than it was before the policy went into effect.
Whoa, why would the disparity or the discrimination get worse?
Well, when companies were not allowed to check on the criminal histories of applicants, what they did is they fell back on their stereotypes and basically said, black men are more likely to be associated with crime, so let me just reject black applicants more often, or let me call white applicants more often. The net result is that white applicants as a group were advantaged. At companies that used to ask applicants about criminal history and now had to stop because of the new law, the racial gap in callbacks before the law was 7%. After the laws, it went up to 45%.
To the extent that we want to use this policy to reduce racial inequality in hiring, it's definitely not effective.
Wow. So the idea was to protect black convicts from having to say they're convicts up front. But in reality, it's preventing people without criminal records to announce that they're crime-free.
I suppose that's right, Steve. You could argue, I suppose, that white ex-felons are benefiting from the fact that their group is perceived to be less likely to be felons, and blacks who are not felons are unfortunately perceived to be felons because of perceptions about black people and criminality.
Shankar, thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve.
That's NPR social science correspondent Shankar Vedantam, also host of the podcast that explores the unseen patterns in human behavior, Hidden Brain.
Speak my point of view. I tell you what, boy. Listen here. Now, yeah, that's what I would have assumed is that they would just, fall back on the Martha Fracken stereotypes like that. Like, in conducting this experiment, that should have been the noted hypothesis. Like, if we take away the box, then they're just going to be like, well, clearly the Necros is bad. I mean, look at Dylan Roof. Necro. Look at the Batman movie shooter. Timothy McVeigh. They do all the bad things. Yeah, man, look at that little Necro went and shot up all them little precious white angels in Newtown, Connecticut. They shot them. Them Necros did.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the Wine Cellar.
It's recording now.
I was they hire anyway because they're very concerned about black-on-black crime. So they can't have more than two black people in the workplace, even if they're not convicted felons, because black people in a confined space get violent. Everybody knows that.
Oh, so I just stepped on your joke by doing all that engineer shit.
Yeah, you did. It's okay.
That's what I stepped on the timing and the rhythm of it. I did that.
It was awkward. There was wind and someone was talking to me and a bathroom break was needed, so there was a lot going on there. I was just trying to get the joke out.
Yeah. And I remember, I think it was actually my biological sister, and I think I may have said this back in like 05, 06, and I was like, I mean, they'll just throw black applications away if they feel like it. She's like, no, they can't, that's illegal. It's like, who's checking? Like, even, so it is illegal, huh? Yeah, but that's the thing, who's checking, though? Who is going through the garbage cans and dumpsters every day? Like, is this a, could this have been a thrown away application? Like, it's not enforceable. Like, it's bullshit. I can't even think of a law to compare it to. You know, fucking, where's that one law in some, I think it might be Florida. Women can't parachute on Sunday. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I think it's also important to talk about that in the context of what it looks like, because there's a lot of reasons somebody can't hire you. And yeah, it'll be right because you're black, but at the same time, they could be like, well, you fucking went to Harvard and I'm a Yale person, so I want another Yale person. Like, you know what I mean?
Nah.
It doesn't matter. Like, there's so many ways to... You know, you have 2 years and 1 month experience, but this person has 2 years and 1 month and 1 day experience. Like, you know.
Yeah, or this one fuckstick. Actually, I remember his name because I've said his name on here multiple times because he's a typical supremacist. Todd Jeffrey Foster. He wouldn't hire anybody that didn't like Kanye West. Like, he'd actually, he would ask that in the interview. And it's not like he'd tell you, like, well, I'm not hiring because of this. But when he'd come back to the office, he'd be like, oh, they don't like Kanye West. I can't hire him. Yeah. That's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I used to work with, back in my retail days, I used to work with someone who was a store manager. And she wouldn't hire anybody that had the same name of her ex-boyfriend, or if their boyfriend had the same name as her ex-boyfriend, or their kid that was named that. Like, and it was a pretty typical Hispanic Latino name too. But if anyone, like, if your references were that person, that name, if it was your name, your kid's name, your husband's name, your brother's name, your father's name, no, she wouldn't hire you.
We had one person that, and now I'm not good at guessing height, so there's your grain of salt, but we had one person who, this person is probably 5'4", and they wouldn't hire anybody taller than that. She just would not hire people taller than her across the gender spectrum. Nobody. You're taller than her, you don't get hired. And I don't even know if she was doing that on purpose. Like, I think that was, like, just some mammal shit. Like, just on some pure animal shit. She was like, I'm not bringing fucking bigger animals into my pride. No lions bigger than me. Yeah, and yeah.
Like, did not hire because didn't like Kanye, right?
Yeah.
Did not hire because related to somebody named, you know, so, I mean.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, it's fucking whack out there. But hey, just get a job. Just get a job.
I mean, if you wanted one bad enough, you'd find one.
But if you happen to not like Kanye, if you happen to be 5'7" or higher, and if you happen to have that name, or you date someone with that name, or you have a reference at that name, Or, hell, if you have a name that rhymes with that name, you're not going to get hired by these three people. And the bill is coming up. The bill is coming due. You got to pay that bill. But at the same time, no sex workers' rights.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. I'm Shane Luke in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Thursday, July 21st, 2016.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
First up, big gay news from Israel. Hundreds of police officers to be deployed for Jerusalem Gay Pride Parade. The Jerusalem Post reports that police announced unprecedented security measures for Thursday's annual GLBT march through downtown Jerusalem. According to a GLBT rights group known as Open House Jerusalem, there have been threats of violence made by a radical right-wing hate group called Lahava that are being addressed with heavily stepped-up police presence for the event that will include thorough security checks at the entrance to the parade venue. Lahava, which praised Yishai Schlissel for the attack at last year's parade, will be allowed to hold their protests near the parade route. Tom Canning, deputy director of Open House Jerusalem, stated that, quote, "Of course we believe that everyone has the right to their opinions in Israeli society. What we are coming out against is calls for violence, because we see that these calls lead to actions by individuals." Next up, comic books are about to get its first lead transgender superhero. GayStar News reports that a new comic book will be the first time a transgender superhero will lead a title. Created by Paul Jenkins, the character of Chalice in the new superhero series entitled Alters will not yet be out to her family as transgender, and will only present as female while in costume. Jenkins said that Chalice's transition is going to be the driving factor of the story, as she makes both her transition to female, as well as her transition into her superhero persona. Next up, neighbors scrawl slur on gay men's garage after dispute over fence. LGBTQ Nation reports that a gay couple in Pennsylvania are bracing for another possible legal fight with neighbors, who insist their battles have nothing to do with homophobia despite the fact that their first skirmish left Keith Davis and David Ruth's Chester County home vandalized with an anti-gay slur. Last year, the couple discovered the slur painted on their garage door, and in the ensuing dispute with the neighbors, have had their fence knocked down in a number of places, as well as having their security system vandalized. Court battles have nearly wiped out Davis and Ruth's life savings, but a judge just ruled that the men may keep their 6-foot fence, saying that the lawsuit brought against them was clearly about more than a fence. For our last story, gay Republicans take out full-page newspaper ad to call their own party morons. Pink News reports that a gay Republican group has taken out a full-page ad in a newspaper, attacking their party's anti-GLBT platform. After the GOP unveiled one of the most hostile anti-gay platforms seen in recent years, including support for the strongly controversial gay cure therapy and marriage between only one man and one woman, the Log Cabin Republicans decided to show their displeasure by placing the ad in the Cleveland edition of USA Today, as the Republican National Convention convenes in the city. The ad uses words such as losers, morons, and sad to depict what many moderate conservatives are saying about the party's platform, and goes on to state that the GOP platform committee is going completely against the values of 61% of young Republicans who are in favor of marriage equality. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Raines for compiling the stories. I'm Shane Luke in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
Teresa just yelled at me to make him a sandwich. The mother's furious after a clerk locked her 11-year-old son inside a local convenience store and held him at gunpoint. Here's a picture of that clerk, now charged. Channel 2's Darren Morris live downtown at Atlanta Police Headquarters. And Darren, the clerk, thought the boy was stealing.
Fred, investigators said that wasn't the case, so the clerk, he ended up in jail, and that sparked the protest.
You're not stop here!
Several people protested outside Big Brother's grocery store on Lee Street.
Do not shop here!
They were upset when Atlanta police arrested an employee that locked 11-year-old Dylan Carate inside the store and held him at gunpoint.
I was extremely saddened and disheartened by it.
It happened around 1:30 in the morning on Saturday. The clerk told police Dylan was inside the store stealing.
He didn't do anything wrong. He just came to the store.
Investigators took a look at the store surveillance video and didn't see Dylan stealing anything, so they arrested the clerk, Abhishek Dubé.
He was literally kidnapped because that door was locked. You know, his siblings was trying to get to him. That is very, very terrifying.
A co-worker defended Dubé and said they had issues with robberies and kids stealing.
It was a mistake, but it was a toy gun. It wasn't a real gun.
Police said Dubé had a real gun that didn't have any bullets. And investigators charged Dubé with aggravated assault, but we'll check with APD throughout the day to see if there's anything else to this case and bring you any new updates on Channel 2 Action News at noon and also at 4.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
Maroon prevails. Russell Maroon Schultz, after many years of hard struggle, has prevailed on his action to bar the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections from ever holding him in isolation again. In a remarkable settlement bringing an end to Schultz v. Wetzel, Maroon won on all counts. The only thing lacking is a judge's written opinion. Upon learning of the settlement, Maroon stated, "I have nothing but praise for all of those who supported me and my family for all the years I was in solitary confinement, as well as helped to effect my release. Since joining the struggle for human rights in the mid-1960s, I have always chosen to fight. Frederick Douglass was right when he said, power concedes nothing without a demand. So have no doubt that I see this settlement as anything but the latest blow struck, and you rest assured that I will continue in the struggle for human rights. Straight ahead, Russell Maroon Schultz." Under the terms of the settlement, the DOC has agreed to not place Maroon in solitary over his prior disciplinary record. He is to be single-celled for life, and Maroon was granted a monetary settlement. Maroon was held in solitary confinement from 1983 to 2014. With the exception of 19 months he spent in federal custody at Leavenworth, where he lived in general population. So for 22 consecutive years, a lifetime, Russell Maroon Schultz has been held by the state of Pennsylvania in isolation, conditions described as torture by the United Nations Special Rapporteur Juan Mendez, who called for Maroon's release from solitary. Mendez served as a defense expert for Schultz. Russell Maroon Schultz was represented in this federal civil rights action by Brett Grove and Dustin McDaniel, Esquires of the Abolitionist Law Center of Pittsburgh, Harold J. Engel, Esquire, and attorneys Rick Etter and Stephanie L. Burt of the law firm Reed Smith. The struggle continues, and sometimes you win. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
You can contact him at the Father Teresa on Twitter. However, and fuck, Father Teresa does not know or give any fucks. No, I wasn't going anywhere with that one.
They will get up every day. They will kill somebody and go have some chicken at KFC.
All right, so let's kick it back over to Sandra Bland again here. Yeah, so Sandra Bland's mother got herself a lawyer, and that lawyer has released information that the former Waller County jail guard told him under oath that he falsified entries on a jail log indicating he checked on Sandra Bland an hour before she was found murdered when he did not. The article says found dead. But the lawyer for Waller County, who was also present at the recent deposition, I said recent, whew, I'm getting tired, at the recent deposition, challenged the lawyer's description of the former jailer's testimony. Yes, so let's hear this quote. Numerous depositions have been taken in the case involving dozens of hours of testimony. Lawyer Larry Simmons said in a written statement, "It is a gross miscarriage of justice and a misrepresentation for any party to cherry-pick or mischaracterize a small portion of that testimony and take it out of context." End quote. Continuing, a source familiar with the state's investigation of Bland's death confirmed that special prosecutors were told about the falsified records, but that a Waller County grand jury decided not to indict anyone associated with the sheriff's office. Sandra Bland, at 28 years old, was murdered in the jail on July 13th, 2015, 3 days after she was falsely kidnapped during a session of random harassment with the Texas Deputy for Public Safety Trooper, who pulled her over for failing to be non-black. Now, her murder was ruled a suicide, and it became one of the things that some Black Lives Matter activists rallied around across the country, coming amid a wave of high-profile murders by good cops and the Negros. Sandra Bland's mother was Geneva Reed Veal, and she filed a federal lawsuit in Houston accusing the county officials and law enforcement of willful and wanton negligence in her daughter's murder. Her attorney, Cannon Lambert, said the jailers never checked on Sandra Bland or about a dozen other inmates in that hour. All right, so this information is useful for research. It's useful for book writing, for podcasting, for making sure that folks are as informed as possible. This information will not lead to justice. All right, not justice in this instance, but to make more folks aware, like somebody who might be younger hearing this as they grow up, they'll think, huh, you know what, maybe I want to take actions against this. If they have access to this information, if they acquire this information, if the algorithms and the social networks should so make this information available to them. But this will put none of these supremacist murderers in prison for this. But we have the information. We can use it. You're a book writer. Put this in your book, right? You're a script writer. You know, reference it in your film. You know, keep it for future reference. But for the present, it's just good to have it, but it will do nothing.
What if a political party's platform actually stood for workaday people, rather than being a catalog of far-out right-wing nuttiness or a batch of nothingness meant to preserve business as usual? Lo and behold, this year's Democratic Party platform. It's not perfect, of course, but thanks to Bernie Sanders' revolutionary presidential campaign, this platform is actually rich in populist policies for the people. It puts Democrats on record for such overdue national needs as a nationwide jobs initiative to hire millions of Americans to rebuild and expand our crumbling infrastructure, a $15 national minimum wage, breaking up too-big-to-fail Wall Street banks, making public colleges tuition-free for working-class families, expanding Social Security, making it harder for CEOs to block workers from joining unions, reestablishing postal banks in our public post offices to give low-income families affordable access to banking, encouraging renewable energies to replace big oil's destructive fracking process, expanding community health centers to reach 25 million more uninsured families, requiring Medicare to negotiate with Big Pharma to lower our drug prices, and encouraging states to provide universal health care, decriminalizing marijuana, eliminating for-profit prisons and detention centers, and abolishing the death penalty. And what about eliminating super PACs, providing financing of elections and automatic voter registration, and making Election Day a national holiday? This is Jim Hightower saying, none of these things is a done deal, but at least one party is committing to an agenda that grassroots progressives can organize around. After all, change always comes from the bottom up. So, let's get moving.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
If you don't sign up at the Wine Cellar Patreon, then you hate black people.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals. I'm breaking in, shaping up, then checking out on the prison bus. This is it, the apocalypse. Whoa, I'm waking up. I feel it in my bones. Enough to make my sense.
You can contact him at the Father Teresa on Twitter.
What do you get when you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine? How about one convenient place to keep up with state and local Democratic politics? And a place to get a local take on national issues. Plus, interesting and thought-provoking entertainment from around the world. But that's not all. When you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine, you're helping to elect state and local Democratic candidates. And you're helping to advance state and local progressive causes. And that helps make a difference in the lives of real people in our communities. Because every dollar of your subscription allows us at Bold Blue Media to keep costs for candidate training and services ridiculously low. So that every Democrat who wants to run for office and make a difference can. Choose your subscription level and let's get to work building something great together. Subscribe today.
Wow, that is discrimination.
Coming
from a black man.
That's not, just you misused that word.
Raise my flag, down my clothes. It's a revolution, I suppose. We're painted red to fit right in. Whoa. I'm breaking in, shaping up, then checking out on the prison bus.
Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kalida.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Are you ready for that? All right, let's do it. Let's get into some Jones. You know, Jones...
old school. I mean, Jones is a neo-Confederate dude to the core. And calls himself a libertarian, a classic liberal. He's on his Black Lives Matter. He's on his Donald Trump. You know, he's taken down the real oppressive systems. He's going to mention a race war or some shit like a civil war. He's going to mention civil war. Hey, let's party. Oh, and we're going to cover about 5.5 to 6 minutes of this shit. So get ready to have some fun. All right.
We are on the march.
We're on the march.
The Empire is on the
is
run.
On the run.
Alex Jones. Alex Jones. On the GCN Radio Network.
Radio.
All right, so there's a million different angles to this, but I want to go into some clips here and break down what's currently happening and get into all the other attacks on police that are currently taking place.
All these attacks on police that are currently taking place. But the police are very big victims of Negroism, darkness, Black Lives Matter, fried chicken, and dancing.
Multinational corporations, to a great extent, have already captured this country.
Yep.
They want to have Americans at each other's throats, so they have weaponized media, CNN, MSNBC, you name it, local TV stations across the country, come out and say.
I like how he starts out saying some shit that I would say. That bothers me, right? But, of course, he says multinational corporations, you know, to me, intercontinental corporations, right? Nations are their ideas. Continents very clearly exist. Borders, made up ideas.
Hey, oh my gosh, it is the number one issue in America. The police are hunting down and just executing black men everywhere.
Yeah, for a long time now. But Alex Jones say, nope, pay attention to that, because Alex Jones is in favor of that.
This year so far, 2,000 plus people have been shot in Chicago. 90 plus percent by black on black.
2,000. He just throws numbers. He just says numbers because numbers are words that exist to him. It's like, what? It's 2,000? Is that a word I can say on my program? Yes. All right.
500 plus blacks die a year in Chicago at the hands of other blacks. With
all right, 2,000, then 500. Fuck it. Whatever. Just stand in the way.
With guns. You can look it up for yourself. I did whole reports on Friday. They're on InfoWars.com showing the FBI's own numbers.
He makes his own reports his evidence.
You tell a Black Lives Matter person that or some other social justice warrior, and they look at you and say, shut up, racist. Why don't you care about people's lives? And we're just like, look, the truth is police shootings overall are down.
Reported police shootings are down.
The truth is that this is a political diversion from black unemployment being doubled.
We are aware of both things at the same time.
But if you segue out of that, if Donald Trump gets killed.
What? All right, fuck it. Segue. That was very clearly a segue and not a hard right turn. All right, Donald Trump gets killed. Let's see where we're... Let's party with that.
Or more Trump supporters get attacked.
Trump supporters getting attacked. And you know, he'll point to that one incident where some teenagers with a bunch of racist white people in their neighborhood fucking attacked back. Like, that was a response. Like, get the fuck out of their neighborhood.
And then they've set the battle lines with Democrats and the quote minorities and Trump and the white people. Even if Trump didn't brand it like that, the media has.
Yep, it's Trump and the white people. The media has. Yeah, not like that whole Bernie Sanders and the white people thing. Ow!
This is the recipe we've got for major, major civil unrest. And so many leftists and so many Black Lives Matter people on InfoWars and on YouTube put comments going, oh, trying not to have a civil war, you're scared. The majority of people are white still in this country, even though they're old and mentally ill.
You know, so he's pulling an Elon James White and pretending that a very few people in a comment section
represent a majority that's harassing him. He's pulling an Elon.
And they've got guns, and you're not going to win against the military and the police and all this. I'm not trying to stop a civil war because I think I'm going to lose it. I'm trying to stop a civil war because we all lose it, except for the technocrats that are playing us off against each other. This is so stupid. I go into stores. I work with, quote, African people. I'm around great folks. I don't want to fight with anybody. I'm not out to get you. And the media and all.
Now, keep in mind, he just said he's not out to get you. But when that feller, you know, when the homie put in work in Dallas, you know, and blasted on some of the enemies, and that dude, like, before he put that out there, he made a public statement that he's not involved in, that he doesn't even like Black Lives Matter. He doesn't fuck with them. He doesn't fuck with any groups or crews. And then Alex Jones put on InfoWars that Black Lives Matter shot them cops, nigga. So remember, but Alex Jones just said he's not out to get you.
All these white pimps that I...
White pimps. All right, white pimps.
I go into stores. I work with, quote, African people. I'm around great folks. I don't want to fight with anybody. I'm not out to get you. And the media and all these white
pimps
that I see pushing and George Soros and Hillary and the Dallas mayor and
pimps, white pimps pushing and Hillary and George Soros. Nigga, Hillary don't give a fuck about. Hillary is more racist than you, Alex Jones. Hillary hates knackers way more than you.
Obama and Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, Google, all of them. After the cops got shot, they were putting up big signs saying Black Lives Matter. There were demonstrations all over the country Friday, Saturday, and today. And cops being beat up and shot all over the place. And then Loretta Lynch comes out and says, we need to reform the police. That'll fix this. Like it's legitimate.
Loretta Lynch ain't about to do a goddamn.
Obama, Friday morning, came out. We played the clip Friday. And said, we need to reform the police. Giving credence to the cops that got killed as if they were connected to something some other cop did some other place.
Yeah, it is. That's why the FOP exists, the Fraternal Order of Police. It is a national organization.
That's like Hitler saying, oh, some Jew might have done something wrong, so I'm going to arrest all the Jews and I'm going to kill them.
That's clearly what's happening. Yeah, so we got a... blue ribbons for cops, and we gonna march them fellers on down to that their train station and cart them off to the cop tournament camps, and we really gonna fry them piggies there, boy, I tell you what.
And all the Black Lives Matter and Ford Foundation, the big leftist groups, oink, oink, bang, bang, you're dead. We played all the clips Friday. I'm not playing them again today. I mean, I've been to demonstrations myself, my crew has, at every demonstration. You got mainly white college students, they're leading the chants about deck the halls with dead cops and all this stuff. And the police are told to stand down and do nothing, and the grand juries do nothing because the system wants to build this to a head. Let me explain something.
Ah, that's what's happening. The system wants to build this to a head. That's clearly he knows this. He's about to break it down. How? Because he made the claim that the system, whoever the fuck that is, wants to build this to a head, and he's going to break down how that's a fact.
You've got free speech, and I'm the number one backer of it. But when you start as a media person with major groups of people that are listening to you, organizing, going out and killing people randomly because of what color they are or because they're wearing a uniform.
Now, keep in mind, so what he's speaking against irresponsible free speech. This is a self-proclaimed classic liberal libertarian saying that you need to be responsible with free speech. And remember that this is the guy who, I gotta add this deal, that Melissa Harris Perry is a corporate sellout to the core, but folks ought not to be out there trying to murder her for that. But, like, he did all those segments against Melissa Harris Perry and did segments against black people in general. Like, Alex Jones would do segments against black people, then run gun commercials. And then, surprise, surprise, some creepy Midwest white man in a pickup truck rolls up on Melissa Harris Perry, threatening her,
in a relatively public place. And, but Alex Jones is saying now you need to be responsible with your free speech. Because someone might get killed. Oh, and Alex Jones also, remember that cop that, that committed suicide but faked it to look like he got killed by Negros out there in Chicago, in Chicago, which I'm very close to now. I'm like a 30 minute drive away from Chicago now. So like, so that story happened and Jones covered it, of course, because it was a way to say niggers are out killing cops. But then when the truth came out that he faked it, Jones did not cover the truth. But remember, he's saying that you need to be careful with your speech so people don't get killed for what color they are.
You're engaged in organizing terrorist attacks. You're involved in racketeering.
He just, again, just throwing words out there. Fuck it, racketeering.
And I've already decided, if I'm out in public and I hear somebody saying kill police, I'm going to break their jaw. I'm done.
Just said be responsible with your speech and then just said he's going to break somebody's jaw. This, again, for me and not for thee.
And that's not talk. I'm doing it.
And that's not talk. He's doing it. He's doing it. I so want him to run up on me. I want this fucking Pillsbury punk boy to...
You go chanting around me, hey, let's go kill some freaking cops because they're in a uniform. And of course, you're too cowardly to do it. You want somebody else to do it. I'm going to punch you right in the face.
I dare you, Jonesy. No, you won't. You antagonize people so that they will come after you first and you can record it and say you're being attacked.
I don't usually talk like that 20 years on air. It's not that I'm kissing the cop's ass either. But look, I'm going to explain something to everybody.
All right, he's about to explain something else. This is an explaining ass nigga right here.
This attack is by multinational corporations trying to bring down America.
Oh, shit. All right, so he did not explain, Mary, like he was going to explain how multinational corporations wanted this to happen. He didn't explain it, then spun back around to that statement. Maybe he's going to explain it this time with passion. I'm going to let him go for a minute here.
So as many problems as the police have, they're the face of local government and our due process and what's left of it. And when they bring that down, the whole country's going down in a globalist takeover. And then your checks aren't going to cash anymore. There's not going to be any good electricity. This damn society's going to break down like Cuba or Venezuela or Eastern Europe. And this country's going to fall apart because it's a design to bring this country down. And I'm not going to sit here and watch a bunch of stupid high school and college punks fueled by propaganda on MTV and CNN out there stomping around acting like a bunch of jackasses. Excuse me, I didn't mean to go there. I apologize.
Oh, no. Get this motherfucker out of here, man. God damn. All right, let's tie this thing off.
William said he won't attend my wedding unless I crip walk into my reception.
We might as well hop out the pulpit and let the choir preach it. Your argument would have teeth if you would quit biting Phoenix. Try to beef and we can leave them slayed. Three languages, English, tea, and shade. Wine cellar to the bone gristle. We throw missiles on the warpath to make his soul sizzle. And I attack him with a fat flow. I make it dance like Hillary to get the black vote. I'm a super predator about the hilltop. So I ain't paying attention until she does the crip walk. She can study it on Lokestapedia. For now I gotta deal with the social media. Different day but the same turd. Corny motherfuckers wanna drag a nigga like James Byrd. With your clickbait schemes and plans. With niggas like you, who needs the Klan?
Something about you was seeming fake.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
Coming at me with your weak brigade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
And I don't care what your people say.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
So memorize it and repeat the phrase.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
All right, so what's my fucking deal, right? I think it's... I'm still very close to, essentially, like, the same things as since I was a child, really. Same sort of justice for black women and girls. And, like, socially, I'm nicer to older black women than anyone else. And it is like a me being nice to people caste system. Like, I could sit down and try to lay it out and figure out exactly what it is. what in the holy heck darn else? The environmentalism, the healthy food, you know, and by, I mean, like, you know, again, shit that grows out of the ground. Like, shit like broccoli, you know, cantaloupe, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, carrots, like, these things, these plants, all of them, you know, ones that I'm not really into, like asparagus. I don't really fuck with asparagus, but I get it. You know, I fucking get it. Like, we evolved from this planet just like these things did. Some things some folks over here might be allergic to, but a lot of things you're fucking not. You know, and we evolved from the planet that these things evolved from. You know, we're water-based, they're water-based. You know, we got carbon, they got carbon. You know, fucking eat the shit. It's gonna work with your body. You know, and then you'll fucking die. And some shit'll eat your ass, nigga. Right? And that shit'll die. And fucking rainwater will fall on it. And it'll be in the fucking soil. And a fucking seed from pollination will land in that soil. And the sun will shine down on that motherfucker. And that shit will grow. And the sun will feed it. And more water will feed it. And more nutrients in the soil will feed it. And keep the shit spinning the fuck around, nigga. You know, like, it's real simple shit, you know. And I think certain things like LGBT, you know, misogyny, patriarchy, you know, things like that. Like, yeah, I want to get rid of those, but we do need a planet to have justice on. That's why, like, in the back of my head, that environmentalism is always there. All right. This is a sort of disconnected closing riff and talk. So, fucking, you know, patreon.com, Wine Cellar Media. Keep us moving forward. I'm trying to get a... We're still shopping around for an internet connection for this place that we live in so that we can have that. And then, fucking, once we have that, we can get back to regular broadcasting again instead of me just sitting here pre-recording and uploading. And then we can interact with the chat room while we broadcast. In this empty... apartment in Illinois. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us. Peace.